When the pink slip comes, often the green follows. Severance packages certainly are one very welcome way to soften the sting of a layoff. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. We learned this week that there are millions of ways to say goodbye, and stockholders at some of the industry's top publishing houses might want to ask exactly what the generosity is buying. Andrew Albanese has details on what Publishers Weekly reporting staff have learned. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, you guys got out the magnifying glasses and the sharp pencils, and you looked at some interesting filings on some of the publicly traded publishing companies out there, and certainly one way to measure the state of the industry. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. You know, as we've talked about quite a few times on this show over the last 2 years or so, there's been a lot of restructurings and a lot of reorganizations. And with those restructurings comes no shortage of layoffs usually. So my editor here at PW and a few of us on staff decided to look at some of the SEC filings of the few publicly traded companies that report this information to sort of get a sense of what's going on with the workforce. And what we found out was that there was millions in severance packages being paid out. Among the most active companies were publishers like Wiley. Wiley's actually paid out some $19.7 million in severance in 2013 and another $25.9 million in severance in fiscal 2014. This according to its 10K filing for the year ended April 30, 2014. Houghton Mifflin is another large publicly traded company that's undergone pretty extensive changes, and according to its 10K filing, Houghton took severance charges of $10 million in 2013, following charges of $9.4 million in 2012. Its most recent filing for the second quarter of 2014 shows that those changes are still ongoing. They've paid out $5.3 million in severance so far in 2014. And then there's Scholastic, which has recorded severance of $11.3 million, even as its headcount actually rose by 100 employees between fiscal 2013 and 2014. So what does this all tell us about the state of the publishing industry? Well, the workforce is changing. And you can check out more on Monday when the article is online and see how it all fits together. But suffice it to say, the publishing workforce is changing, and that change doesn't come cheaply.
Yeah, something else that doesn't come cheaply is lawyers. And they may become involved again in the publishing industry if the Authors Guild has its way. Last week, we talked about Authors United and its bid to get the Department of Justice to investigate Amazon for so-called antitrust abuse. We learned just earlier this week that the Authors Guild is looking into the same approach to handling the Amazon problem, antitrust, and tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, that's right. This week we learned that the Authors Guild has actually submitted a white paper to the Department of Justice, and on August 1st, actually hosted a meeting at its offices with DOJ officials to urge them to investigate Amazon's pricing practices. You can read the Authors Guild's full letter to its members on the PW site right now. I think we spoke about this last week, and I sounded pretty skeptical about the efforts of Authors United to get the DOJ to investigate Amazon. And now that the Authors Guild has signed on, it only confirms to me that this is probably a bad idea. And I think it's a bad idea just for the simple reason that, you know, the last thing the publishing industry really needs now, just as its consent decrees from its price-fixing settlements are beginning to expire and it's negotiating new deals with retailers, the last thing it needs now is to have DOJ lawyers in their backyard again. And make no mistake, any investigation of Amazon's ebook business is going to involve a look at the publisher's economics, too. And I think we've learned a lot over the last few years of litigation about Amazon, about ebooks, about all this stuff. And frankly, I think it's time for the market to try to sort itself out without lawyers or regulators. And I'll say this too, I do think it's perfectly fair to criticize Amazon's practices. And I think, as I said last week, I'd really like to have a conversation about Amazon and its power in the marketplace. But, you know, no one held a gun to any publisher's head here and made them sell ebooks or print books Amazon. You know, and if Amazon has grabbed a healthy or maybe some say an unhealthy market share, it's done so through negotiated deals and through building a proprietary platform that involved no small amount of investment and innovation. And, you know, there are plenty of competing platforms out there. There's Barnes & Noble, there's Apple, there's Kobo. So if publishers are truly worried about Amazon, then they don't have to sell through them. You know, they can negotiate the terms on which they want to sell through Amazon. You know, that's the end of the story for me. There really is no net loss of access to books because Amazon is fulfilling your order slowly, as they are in the Hachette case. And frankly, there are plenty of more troubling aspects to the ebook market out there that the DOJ could decide to get involved with, such as the library market and why libraries are charged such high prices for ebooks and their access is limited, etc. So, you know, maybe we do need government to step in and sort of help the ebook business, but I'm not sure that antitrust law is the way to go about doing it. You know, the antitrust law is there to protect consumers and not competitors. And for the Authors Guild, I don't see how a professional guild can claim the standing that they're arguing in the public's interest. And we saw how that worked out for them in the Google case so far, right? They took it pretty hard on the chin in that one.
Well, it is fascinating the way that we've made this point many times over the years that rather than letting the marketplace work things out, so many times we see things go to court. And there are lessons in all of that for everybody involved. In another new development this week, HarperCollins has announced a plan to pump up its direct sales by raising ebook royalties. How does that work?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, it's ebook royalties. And I should, you know, mention, too, that it also applies to some print sales here, you know, looking over the materials. HarperCollins, and you can read about this on the PW site, too, has decided to ramp up its direct sales efforts by giving its authors the chance to earn a higher royalty rate by selling titles directly to consumers using the HarperCollins website. The broad strokes are basically, you know, Harper redesigned its website, and it's now offering authors the ability to place a cart button on their own personal websites, and by doing so and selling books to their fans and their consumers, they can actually earn an additional 10% royalty rate. That can be on either print or digital. Now, HarperCollins President Brian Murray said the company is rolling out the e-commerce program to give authors another option to reach readers in what he called a fast-changing consumer environment, retail environment, that is. You know, and he also said that HarperCollins is able to offer the extra royalty because, you know, with direct sales, there's no retailer discount or commission. But I have to say, this program is not as simple as it sounds, and I have a couple of major problems with it. And first, although Murray says he'd prefer readers buy from retail partners, if this program succeeds and people, especially the big best-selling authors, start selling their books directly through their websites, it's going to inevitably weaken retailers. And it's especially going to weaken the weakest of retail partners. I'm not sure that it would really dent much of Amazon's market share, but it certainly could take away from the indies. And it certainly could take away from Barnes & Noble, for example. And if we start encouraging authors to actually pump up and get a 10% bump on their royalties by selling directly, you know, I don't see how that is a good deal for retailers and all of this. And we really want to sort of strengthen the retail environment now rather than weaken it, I would think. But my biggest issue here, and I hope the Authors Guild is listening because this is something they really might want to weigh in on, this is not a royalty. You know, this is not a royalty increase. This is basically an affiliate fee that's calculated on the royalty. But the royalties are explicitly set in contracts. And without a change to those contracts, those royalties are going to remain the same. So if I was a Harper author, I'd find this to be a little confusing. And also the publisher is saving a pretty substantial retail fee, as much as under the agency model, for example, 30% commission. And yet the author's only getting a 10% bump on its royalty. That to me doesn't quite seem like a fair trade. So I think, you know, having a conversation about direct sales and about royalties are worth having, but there's some confusion here and a lot of questions about this program that we're going to be exploring in the coming weeks. So watch this space.
Well, Andrew Albanese, like a good reporter, you're all about conversations and questions. Conversations with HarperCollins, conversations with Amazon, and every week a conversation with us here at Beyond the Book. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.